The title of our lesson tonight is Protecting the Heart. Protecting the Heart. That is taken from 1 Samuel 16:7. That's going to be one of my scriptures. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And then Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is the heart? Medically speaking, the heart is a muscular organ that pumps life-giving blood to all parts of the human body through the circulatory system of various blood vessels. This provides enough oxygen and nutrients that our bodies need and require to survive. So that's the physical heart. A healthy heart is able to function as God created it to function. The human heart is one of the most important organs God placed within our bodies. Without it, we can't live. From the spiritual standpoint, a person's heart is also the most important spiritual organ as well. The spiritual heart is the part where our emotions and desires arise. In Proverbs 4:23, I didn't give y'all this one because I got it later. Proverbs 4:23, we are admonished above all else to guard our hearts, to watch over our hearts. For everything we do flows from the heart. It comes from the heart. That's how important the heart is. The heart symbolizes the center or the core of our very being, from which our moral actions originate. Our heart reveals who we really are and what we really love, whether we love God or whether we love ourselves and the world. That's revealed through hard actions. If we do not know the Lord personally, our heart still belongs to us. At salvation, we give that heart over to God. It does not belong to us anymore. We give it to Him. Wholeheartedly, we give our heart to the Lord. So we give it to Him. It doesn't belong to us anymore at salvation. Once we give our hearts to the Lord, the dictates of the heart become God-honoring and God-conscious rather than in the past without God being self-conscious. So that makes a big change in our hearts and our lives. God created every person with a physical heart that allows us to live temporarily. Keep that in mind. The physical heart God gave us to help us and allow us to live temporarily. He also gave us a spiritual heart at salvation, which enables us to live not temporarily, but eternally. Once we give those hearts, give our hearts over to Him, they don't belong to us anymore. They're His. And we have passed from this temporary heart that causes us to live to a spiritual heart that now enables us to live eternally with the Lord. So it is so important. The heart is most important. So guarding and protecting our spiritual heart must begin with a commitment to God to strive for a healthy heart, which produces a pure relationship with God. And not only that, but a divine connection with Him, where we once had no relationship. Because of His death and resurrection, we are privileged to be able to call on Him to come to Him and give our hearts to Him, commit to Him, and enjoy this divine connection, this precious connection that we have with Him in knowing Him. Although protecting our physical heart should be a priority to make us healthy in order to live a healthy life and to be able to serve God to our fullest, often we fail to relate to just how important it is to protect our spiritual hearts. We're advised by physicians, in order to protect our physical hearts, we must be careful not to take in wrong foods. We're also advised to exercise regularly, even if we just walk. That helps. Also, we should avoid stress and anxiety, since stress and anxiety affect our hearts. If we ignore these warnings, it will catch up with us. First thing we know, it shows high cholesterol and other problems, which reveals that we have ignored, we've not been paying attention to what we know and the advice, the medical advice that we've been given for hearts. If quick action is not taken, we can expect problems to occur. Could be clogged arteries, heart attacks, etc. Worst case, even death can occur. So that's just how important our heart is. God has given us these hearts. Just as important as watching out for the physical heart is our spiritual heart, because it deals with our eternal life, our destination. That's why it's so important. Both are important, but our eternal life, the physical heart offers us temporary life, but our spiritual heart offers us eternal life. That's why it's so important. Since the heart symbolizes the center or the core of our being, from which our moral actions originates, it makes total sense that we should guard and protect our hearts, our spiritual life. That's where it originates. The heart is the dwelling place where I really am. That heart reveals who I am, where I live and function. That's it, reveals that. The heart is a place of decision. It's the place of truth about who I am and the place where we choose life or death. That's how important our spiritual heart is. That's why it deserves so much special attention and care. The heart is also the seat of moral personality. Scripture tells us that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, which can be any type of evil, murder or adultery and on. But the pure heart is promised to us who live a pure heart and practice a pure heart, protect our hearts. We're promised to see God. What a blessing that is. It just takes being careful. We must be careful. It's easy to let our guards down. Purity of heart comes from the very vision that God has always had for each one of us. It's been His vision on the cross that we could have pure hearts so that we could know Him. This is why His Son died. This is why the Son of God died for our sins. Purity of heart only comes from a heart that is guarded from evil. Purity of heart enables us to see according to how our Father sees. Sometimes we get all confused because we look at things in the wrong manner, the wrong way. And this is where we get into trouble. But how do we have a pure heart? Purity of heart requires honesty with myself about myself. It's hard sometimes to face what the Lord shows us that's really in our hearts. But if we want to see God, if we want to keep our hearts pure, then we have to be honest with myself about what God shows me about myself. And we must especially be honest with God. Without that, we're in trouble. Honesty only takes place when we humble our hearts. Humility. It took humility for the Son of God to die on the cross. Without humility, there cannot be honesty. And you know what? Pride, that old pride, it falls hard. The scripture that says, take heed while you stand, lest you fall. Know that your standing is because of the Lord. Matthew 11:29 says to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and humble of heart, and there's where you will find rest for your souls. So Christ is our perfect example and image of a pure heart. A clean heart is worth protecting. Sometimes we get sidetracked, and we have to be very careful that we don't get sidetracked on the wrong things. Because if we do, it will lead us astray and we will miss the most important things that we're supposed to be taking care of. God put our hearts in us. He knows those hearts. In Proverbs 4:23. I'm sorry, Nuna and Annie, I didn't get those written down because my notes were not finished. Solomon warns his son, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. He goes on to give admonitions about the mouth, the eyes, the feet, but it is the heart that must be guarded above all else. Why? Because in Scripture, the word heart is used a lot of times. I think I read somewhere maybe over more than 1,000 times, but it almost never refers to the physical organ inside our chest. The Old Testament sums up all the usages of the term in this way. It is the richest, most all-encompassing biblical term for the totality of a man's inner nature, the heart, our inner nature. And that inner nature reveals what we really are. The heart is said to do a wide range of things, but all its many activities fall into one of the three main faculties of the soul, and those are the mind, the affections, and the will. It includes the mind, which is our thoughts, imaginations, fantasies, attitudes. It encompasses the affections, our emotions, our desires and longings. And it describes the will, which is our choices, our decisions, and motivations, what motivates us. Once we understand that the heart involves all of these things, it becomes even clearer why we must guard it with all vigilance before all else. because it is so fundamental. It is the control center of the whole person. Scripture sometimes uses the heart as a kind of synonym for the self. The heart represents me, myself, who I am. And there are scriptures, and I don't have those written down. I think one of them might be in 1 Peter, but it talks about the hidden person of the heart. And we know that the scripture tells us that the heart is evil and wicked, and sometimes we can be deceived by it. So we have to go to God and be honest and open with Him so that we're not deceived, because He knows the heart. We also need to guard our hearts with all vigilance, because our heart is under constant attack from the world and the devil outside ourselves, but also most dangerously from an enemy that we all deal with, and that's the flesh. So the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. So who can know it? That's why we need to make sure that we trust God and stay close to God and know our own hearts. We need to guard our hearts too, because the Lord wants our hearts. Proverbs, I think it's chapter 23 in Proverbs that says, I think it addresses it like this: my son, give me your heart. And you know, that's what a powerful incentive that is. When you think about you're giving your heart over to God, that's an incentive. You want to give the Lord your whole life. So that causes us to be motivated to want to do our best, because we don't want to give the Lord something and then ruin it and not keep our heart with all diligence. So we're keeping our hearts for the Father. So we wouldn't be satisfied. Let's just take a marriage for an example. If our spouse was dutiful and faithful outwardly, but not inwardly, and not faithful to whom his heart belonged. And, you know, that's the way we belong to the Lord. Once we've given our heart to Him, it doesn't belong to us anymore. And that's a good picture, a good example, you know, and that's very damaging, very hurtful. So why would God be content with such dealings as this from us? He wants our hearts. He wants our minds. He wants our affections and our wills. The totality of our inner nature, and not just our outward behavior. So there's so many scriptures that I can bring up, and I don't want to overload you with all of them. I didn't write down all of them, but one of the one that sticks out in my mind the most is from Psalms chapter 51. I think it's verse 16. It says that the Lord doesn't delight in sacrifices, or I would get it, and He would not be pleased with the burnt offerings. The sacrifices that God accepts are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Those are the things that God accepts and will not despise. So how then do we do this work of guarding our hearts? The first step is to open your heart, to do a search of our hearts. We need to know the current state of our hearts so that we can address the problems and weaknesses that we find. And Romans encourages us that we make a sober judgment, that we make a righteous judgment of ourselves. The Puritan John Flavel, in an exposition of Proverbs 4:23, wrote these challenging words. Some people have lived 40 or 50 years, let's just say 60, 70, and have scarcely 1 hour's discourse with their own hearts. And this is talking about a very sincere and openness with the Lord, an honesty. Of all works in religion, this is the most difficult. It's the most constant and important work that needs to be done, consistent. And it's not easy. Dealing with the heart is not easy, because it's not always easy to admit, this is not what I thought my heart was. I didn't see this in my heart. But the only way to get a victory over it is just to admit it, humble our hearts, open our hearts with God. And don't try to give the ugly things that comes to your heart. Even as a Christian, we can have some things going on in our hearts that's not honoring to God. And in the fast pace of life that we live and all the duties and responsibilities that we have, sometimes it's easy to overlook that. And sometimes we don't spend that time. We don't spend the time with the Lord like we should. That's dangerous. And we'll try to give the things that the Lord shows us, we'll try to give it different names, other names than what's really going on. We try to pretty up sin, and you cannot pretty it up. Just always remember, if you're trying to do that, that that's the sins that put him on the cross. It's not pretty. So as we carry out this search for our hearts, we need to bear in mind that the heart is, and I will repeat it again, the totality of our inner nature, the mind, the will, and affections. And we need to assess all three areas of the heart. We need to be open and ask questions about our heart so that we know our heart. And knowing your heart helps you to protect it. If you don't know what's going on, you absolutely do not know how to protect your heart. So first let's cover the mind. That's where our thoughts, our attitudes, our imaginations, our plans, our judgments, our discernment. That's where that takes place, in the mind. So what do you think about? Ask yourself this question. What do I think about? Are your thoughts under his control? Are they just left or wrong? Do you think about God and spiritual things? These thoughts give the best measure of the frame or condition of our hearts and minds, who I really am, so that I will not be deceived. And the next one, the affection. Know your affections. Know the affections of the heart. That's the emotions, your longings, your true desires. The affections of your heart is the seat of all sincerity. Whatever men pretend as their affections are, so are they. But we can be very genuine and very sincere and have that type of a heart that God can honor and can approve. In other words, don't settle for anything other than the truth about what your heart loves. Know it, because that's where you can call sin out. You can call it out by knowing what's in the heart. And therefore, you can protect the heart. if you know what it loves, and if you see that that's not loving God, then that's where you need to deal. The affections are powerful, so we need to guard them carefully. We need to watch over them. Watch those emotions. Know what the longings are and the desires. If they are not God approved and not God honoring, you don't want any part of them. And then the next one, the will. Know the will. That's where the choice is. Your actions, decisions, and motives are in that will. That's where you can get into deep trouble. Do you consistently make wise or foolish choices? And when you do make a foolish choice, do you immediately go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and ask for the right to get on the right track? Do you stop and consciously reflect on why you make the decisions you do? Why you did what you did? This is very important. Do you regularly go against your conscience? You know that's how God deals with us. He puts that little alarm system in. Even in regenerate people that have heard the truth know what's really right and what's wrong. They just don't have the power to make that choice against it. Can you say your conscience is more or less tender than it was 1 year ago? This is really important. A good gauge is to look back and see where you were even a few months ago. Keep a close check on that heart, because if not, the heart can become very hardened very fast. Are you making excuses or even committing sins now that would have deeply troubled you a year ago? Sometimes that can happen if the heart is left unguarded. Is your conscience being shaped and informed by God's word or by your human reasoning or by others' human reasoning? This is a good test of your heart. When you discover sin in your heart, do you immediately repent? Or do you allow it to go on? Do you think, well, I'll take care of this tomorrow. It's not that important. It's important if God's made you aware of it. Just remember that. Do you check your motives? Oh boy, this can be so deceptive. What are your motives? Do you ask yourself if you are acting out of a desire to bring glory to God and to get His approval? Or are you doing it for wrong motives? Could be any type of motive to bring attention to yourself or for the praise of men. Be careful with that one. Know your motives. Protecting our hearts requires knowing our hearts. The danger is not giving enough time and effort to work honestly through the things that are the actions that we've been made aware of or that we even understand. This can destroy the heart, and it shows an insincerity in the heart. It's very dangerous. So we protect our hearts by knowing our hearts. And this comes about by taking daily accounts of our actions. Have you ever done something and, boy, immediately you thought, that's wrong? You know what that is? That is God's Holy Spirit in a Christian helping you to know, pricking your heart that you've done something wrong, pricking your conscience that you've done something wrong. But you know what the danger is? If you leave that heart unguarded and unprotected for too long, it's going to cause your heart to become hard. And his prickings will be less and less. Still God's pricking and trying to show you, but your heart's become so hard that you can't hear it. It becomes calloused over. That's the danger. So we need to be taking daily accounts of our actions. We need to be checking our hearts. We need to be sensitive to God's pricking in our hearts so that our hearts do not become hard. Only taking accounts, if you only take account, you can't repair sin. Nor can you protect the heart. So what do? We must humbly and honestly repent of where we have failed in order to ensure that our hearts are spiritually healthy and approved by God. This is a deep subject. As I prepared this lesson tonight or today, I mean, you know what? It cautions my heart. It really cautioned my heart to take account, to be sensitive. We can be so insensitive. We can really put God on the back burner and allow all the things of daily life to take the forefront. And we can put the most important things of the heart on the back burner, and that destroys the heart. That destroys your relationship with God. And it also destroys what you could be for God. It brings a lot of problems. So we must remember that the heart is the core. It is the core of our being. It really reveals who we really are. We can say things and we can say this, that, and the other. But you know what? What comes out of that heart proves what we really are. We need to be so careful that we do not fail God in this way.